know what a she shed is?
Is that when you find out what comes out of my brush when I clean it out?
Oh, like you're shedding? Oh, that's she shedding, yes.
That's different?
But this is a noun, and it has nothing to do with your hair, no.
Okay.
We'll get into that. Also, the TV death that has everybody torn up, and the Bruce Jenner special reminded me of something in college that I've actually never told anyone about.
Okay, then, because I know what the Bruce Jenner special was about. That's interesting.
I thought that was a pretty good tease, but I don't think it'll be a letdown. Anyway, that is all coming up on today's show. So thank you so much for listening. I'm Potter. That's Candy.
Hi.
She's the woman, obviously. We are married to each other. It's not what the show's about, but it comes up sometimes. The show is about our lives, our listeners' lives, and pop culture.
I have a girlfriend who is dating a lot more now. She decided this is the year she's going to find somebody and get into a long-term relationship.
Isn't that the relationship kiss of death right there?
Yeah, that's what I told her.
And this is the year.
She said, yeah, probably. But I think in her mind, it's she's being more aggressive in asking people out. So that's the change.
I like that.
The switch, right. But she's traveling a lot for work. So her big thing is Tinder and different dating apps. So she found this one dating app that I had never heard of. And then she explained it to me. And I said, okay, it's creepy. You have to stop using that immediately.
Creepier than Tinder?
Yeah. I said, you're going to end up on the news and I'm going to be sad. You have got to stop using this. So it's this app that's kind of like Tinder. So if you're looking for somebody, if you don't know what Tinder is, if you're looking for somebody to date, you put in your profile. When they are in the vicinity, if you like the way they look, when they pop up on your phone, you swipe. And then if they swipe too, you then can chat.
Right.
Right. It's very simple. So this app is similar to Tinder in the dating world. But to me, it's a little extra creepy because it only works when you are in a 100-foot radius of someone. So if you walk past a cute guy in the street, bloop, his picture pops up on your phone. And then if you like him, you swipe and get all of his information and you can chat.
Letting you know that he is in the app.
He's right there. So it could be the guy in front of you getting coffee. Like let's think of that scenario. Coffee shop, not very big. The guy literally feet away from you getting coffee. Bloop, his face pops up on your phone and you see all of his information immediately right there.
So it's like being able to Google. It's like Google Glass where you can see like everyone's information is above their head.
Yes.
Like software engineer, but still lives with mom in her basement or
right.
something.
Right. So all of your particulars about you pop up and it only works in 100-foot radius. So
how many times has it popped up for her?
It never has. She just got it. It's brand new.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she just got it. But she's excited because she travels a lot for work. So she's excited to go into a different city and see what pops up, you know. And if anybody, what I was wondering was, you know, if you are using an app like this, it's probably because there's a little awkwardness there. You know, a little social anxiety. Like, you don't have the cojones to approach someone.
Right.
So that's why you're using the app in the first place.
That is the app that I would use.
The I Do Not Have Cojones app?
Yeah, the app that I would kind of go, gosh, is she in my league? Yeah, she's probably in my league if I know a little bit more about her.
That gives you confidence.
Well, you know, like that makes maybe physically I go, oh, she is out of my league.
Mm-hmm.
But then I find out we have some common interests.
Right.
Of some sort.
You could be in there.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. But would an app like this give you enough confidence like that, or would it just make you go, yeah, they're totally cute, oh look, they're walking away, bloop, they just deleted from my phone. Missed opportunity.
Well, so it encourages you to chase people physically.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, they should have called
it stalker. Are you
following me?
I'm still trying to read your bio. You have a really long bio.
I'm trying to work up enough courage to talk to you, so I'm just gonna follow you home.
What'd you say it is, 100 yards?
It's 100 feet.
100 feet?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Like,
so it's like
a third
of a football field. And you think about how quickly that could go. If you're, you know, milling around the same restaurant or bar, you'd have time. But let's say it's a hotel lobby and they get on the elevator. They're gone.
Airport, train station, at the bus stop. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if this app would ever achieve any real hookups.
Well, keep us posted. Let me know if anyone actually pops up. Because as a new app, if it doesn't catch on, then it's worthless. Then you just have an app constantly tracking your location and running down your battery and never introducing you to anybody.
Hang on. Let me go ahead and send them a quick little message so they could change the name of the app to Stalker.
What's it called?
Happen.
happen?
As in, I happened to miss my opportunity as you walked away.
You were too fast for me. I can't read that fast. I'm so sorry.
Right.
So the Bruce Jenner special had huge ratings on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it broke some social media records for the most tweeted about non-sports event and that sort of thing. And if you're not familiar, so Bruce Jenner was the patriarch of the Kardashian family on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Former Olympian, married three times.
Before that, yeah. Big time Olympian. And he has decided that he is going to become a woman.
Yeah.
And so this 60s. Interview was all about him becoming a woman. They taped it 2 months ago and mm-hmm. it just aired on Friday. I did not watch it.
I watched it, both parts, and the first part is setting you up for, you know, the news that's already coming, and this has been, I guess, the worst kept secret, and then the second part is him revealing how he told his family and friends and kind of what his future goals are to be for his transition. The one thing that I thought as Bruce Jenner sitting down with Diane Sawyer is that this is great for him to be in his 60s and saying, I don't care what you think right now. Now I'm doing this for me. I like that. I like that part of it. What I didn't like of it was, it's another reason for people to talk to the Kardashians. I'm never going to get rid of them. Like, because, you know, that's the second part of the story. How did your friends and family react?
Right.
Well, I'm going to interview Kim. I'm going to interview Khloe. I'm going to remember, you know, and that's exactly what happened. The spider web.
Guess what, Candy? Your TV has a remote. Your phone has a button that you can turn it off. You don't have to. Nobody's making you.
I enjoyed his interview with Diane Sawyer because it was a lot more honest and open than I thought it was going to be.
You find him to be more interesting?
Yeah.
Bruce Jenner doesn't mean anything to me as a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was, I was way too young when he was an Olympic star.
Yes.
I'd heard of him.
Right.
As an Olympic star. And then I'd heard of him as, you know, being on the Kardashians show. So he does, the celebrity means nothing to me. I think if this is going to make him happy, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't worry about the fact that I don't get it. Like, you know, there's no part of me that's like, yeah, I feel like a woman inside. But if that's how he feels and he wants to wear dresses and, you know, do whatever, great. And if he helps other people not want to end their lives because they're being bullied, I think that's awesome, too.
Absolutely. If it's bringing a conversation to the forefront that wasn't happening before, then I think everything that he did in his interview was spot on. He wasn't lying.
So, I think it's great. I, on the other hand, think, you know, when I look at women, it looks like such a pain in the butt.
It is.
Like, so I just think, you know, and depending on what level of, you know, taking care of himself with lotions and all of the crazy things that you guys do, I just think, that would be a hassle.
It's exhausting. Bruce, you were in the house with the Kardashians and you still want to do this? Are you sure? You see all of their beauty regimen of what they go through. And all. Maybe he thinks that he's going to hire people to help him.
Well, and he's,
you know,
probably
like
going to make
a stylist.
They said they announced there will be a TV show, right?
Yeah.
So he's going to make a ton of money off it,
yeah,
too.
I mean, I think his story is interesting for somebody to have that type of courage in their late 60s, even. I think that's kind
of
cool.
A lot of times that's when people stop caring. That's why I think you see, you know, older people get so involved in mm-hmm. politics because they're like, I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. I just want the best thing.
I can't wait till I get that old. To where I get that old and I just do not give a yeah. And just like, hey, what are you going to do to me?
I used to think that, you know, working in radio to earn a living, we're kind of required to worry about what people think of us.
Yes.
And I used to think, oh, if we're ever out of radio, I'm just going to not care what people think anymore. But then I realized in any office, there's still politics and, you know, all of that kind
of
stuff.
I have tiny humans that I don't really want them to look up all of my escapades on the internet
right.
later in life.
Well, fortunately, they predicted it. But the Bruce Jenner thing reminded me of something in college. And I hadn't thought about it in years. But there is a... Candy has given me the craziest look right now. Like,
yeah,
what did you do in college? Is there something you have not told me?
Bruce Jenner reminded me about my college days.
No, it wasn't anything like that, but I went to the University of Washington here in Seattle, and there was a class there, and I swear everybody takes it. It's called Psych 210, and it's the psychology of human sexuality.
Oh, I audited that class. I didn't even even go to the University of Washington.
Yeah, people bring their friends to this class because there's 800 people in it. It's in a huge auditorium and it fills up every quarter. And you know, and there's one week that everybody skips because that's the week that you watch senior citizen, you know, pornography to learn about senior sex.
That is the week that everyone should go because you want your life to be that.
you know, and you study all kinds of different things involving human sexuality. But one of the weeks there was a transgendered person. It was a man who had become a woman, mm-hmm. similar to what Bruce Jenner is, who came to the class.
Older or kind of young? Do you remember the age?
Gosh, you know, age is tough as I age because mm-hmm. you forget, you know. They were certainly older than me as a college student. They might have been in their 30s.
30, 40s, yeah.
I think probably in their 30s because I do remember thinking, she is hot, mm-hmm. you know, and you're like, wow, that was a guy because you are hot. And so people got to ask their questions. And again, there's 800 people in an auditorium.
Did anyone ask about the Adam's apple shave?
I don't remember.
There's a surgical procedure that men will go through if they want to make this look very permanent for them. And
if it's
shaving
very pronounced.
Down, yes, the Adam's apple.
Huh.
I guess that's one of the things Bruce Jenner is hoping to do soon.
Oh, okay. So I didn't, I don't remember what questions people were asking, but I had a question and I didn't get to ask it because I put my hand up for about a minute. And then I saw the other hands are up and I'm like, I wonder if I'll get called on. And then I panicked and decided my question was too embarrassing to ask. And so I put my hand back down.
What was the question?
So the question was, because I'm looking at this woman and I'm like, wow, she's hot. And so my question for her was going to be, are you amazing in bed? Because as a former guy, wouldn't you know exactly what guys like in a way that women don't generally know? And, you know, you can tell a woman, you know, oh, I like this or I like that. But I would think as a guy who became a woman, you'd be really good at, you know, and she was a man who became a woman mm-hmm. and then had a boyfriend.
Yes.
You know, so she was
living her life as a woman.
Yeah, completely. She was a woman completely.
Yeah, straight.
And then and was in a relationship with a man. So and I was just curious and I thought the same thing with the Bruce Jenner thing, because I think, God, you know, if you're a guy, you know what feels good on a guy. You probably are really good in bed afterwards.
I don't know, because a lot of the people that you see who go through this transition talk about their previous experience as far as relationships go. And a lot of that time for them is confusing. So maybe it's not as I don't know. Academically, they're not studying and like taking notes and all that stuff think. I mean, they got other stuff going on.
Yeah, and there's a lot there. It's
a good question.
It was
though.
Just completely out of curiosity. I don't know if that would be considered
that question.
Disrespectful to anybody or anything like that.
No,
I don't mean it. I'm fully supportive of whatever.
If that's,
you know,
the context, somebody was there to answer questions that you may have as a straight guy. That is a completely legitimate relationship.
I was just
question.
Curious. There yeah. is a
maybe they are. I don't know.
There is a there was. Somebody, I do remember now, one of the questions somebody asked is, you know, have you climaxed both ways? And she said yes. And it's way better as a woman and you get to do it multiple times and all of that. So that was one of the other questions. So, all right. I love this story. A 103-year-old man has finally proposed to his 91-year-old girlfriend.
Oh, they're too young.
George Kirby asked Doreen Lucky to marry him. He couldn't get down on one knee because he said he wouldn't be able to get up again.
Now it's just sad.
So
this isn't a weird insurance thing, is it? Because I hate hearing about these stories, and then I'm worrying about these elderly people.
No. Okay. And if you've if you've ever been in a relationship, if you're a woman, you've been in a relationship waiting for a guy to propose.
Mm-hmm.
They were together for 27 years.
See, this is why this story is awful.
And he finally proposed. Why?
Because you are setting a bad example. Because somebody, what's his name? Herb.
George Kirby.
Of course it is George. Because somebody can go, hey, George and what's her name?
Doreen.
George and Doreen waited 27 years. You can wait one more year.
Well, if you think about it, though, so George is 103,
mm-hmm.
and they've been together 27 years.
Yeah.
So you do the math, 96. So he was 76 when they got together.
Yeah. Oh, just a young guy.
Already 76. So he might have been thinking, like, oh, I'm not going to live past 81. So by the time they've been together 2 years, he's 78. He's like, well, there's no point in getting married.
That's terrible. He was. was holding out even then. He didn't want to put a ring on it back then. He was like, I'm going to die before I put a ring on your finger. And then he's still alive.
They have a combined age of 195. So they'll become one of the oldest known married couples in history. They've been, quote, living in sin since 1988.
Aren't they cute?
And the reason they, they're adorable. The reason they finally decided to get married is because of their elderly children were pressuring them to do it.
You kids are setting a bad example for your grandchildren. It's funny.
Doreen said, I won't be much of a blushing bride, but I'm getting a bit giddy thinking about it.
Aw, they're so cute.
Yeah, they're quite adorable.
You said 76, and my grandma is 78, and she's probably one of the most with it people you could possibly ever imagine. She's devastated Jon Stewart is leaving The Daily Show right now, by the way. But she is, she was talking about, she knows all about TV. But one of the things that she was saying about Jon Stewart leaving The Daily Show was, I'm just going to have to figure out what show he's going to go to next so I can watch him. That's where I get all my political news. Okay, Grandma.
All right, so tell us about this death perfume.
I thought you were going to make me skip my story because you didn't want to hear it. So there's this company that I don't like this business model so much because I feel like they're preying on somebody who isn't totally stable. Let me tell you what they're doing. They are taking the scent of your deceased partner.
Excuse me. My stomach just made a noise. Right? I don't know if the microphones picked it up or not, but I felt the need to say excuse me.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So they're taking the scent, as in what somebody smells like, of somebody who has died and making a perfume out of it for you.
So it's dead body smell?
If you... No, it's not... Ode to Decay O'Potter.
It's old refrigerator that hasn't been plugged in for a while smell.
Gross. No. found this one in the river. No. No, it's nothing like that. No. So let's say you die, but I still have all your clothes and stuff. And as a comfort to me, maybe I wear your sweatshirt or, you know, I don't wash the sheets.
That's
or the
a form of grieving for some
like
people.
That. Right. So they said,
Candy, by the way, would never do that. She would wash everything right away. She would go, ew, dead people.
Well, I mean, where did you get all your dead stank? I mean, if you were died in the bed, I'd probably get a new bed. I mean, that would freak me out. No, anyway, so what they do is then they take all these clothes and everything, extract an odor palette from the clothes, and then they make a custom perfume for you so you can spray it on whatever you have for eternity so you can always smell dead husband, boyfriend, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Is the whole this sweatshirt smells like him thing, is that a girl thing? Because I've never smelled any clothing and thought, oh, this smells like you.
Yeah, because it is.
But I hear about girls doing that all the time.
It's your own body's chemistry mixed into whatever beauty products you use.
Right. And see, that's, you know, there are times where I'm like, oh, you smell good. And I assume it's a lotion or perfume or
shampoo,
you know,
conditioner,
makeup. Even,
makeup.
You know, lipstick has a smell. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that smells like you. Or that I like that smell. That's sexy. But I've never smelled, like, I've never picked up your coat and, you know, borrowed it to put it on and gone, oh, it smells like you.
You know what? I'm really offended that you're not sniffing my pits more.
I think that's a chick thing.
This sounds like you don't love me at all because you don't know what I smell like.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
exactly
a chick thing.
Like.
I will definitely not be ordering your death perfume.
You won't?
How much does it cost?
I'm going to put my will. They have not announced that as of yet.
Okay.
And that's kind of why, I mean, they did say they would make the custom smell. And I forgot how many ounces was in the bottle, but $600 for the process.
Okay.
So, yeah, death perfume. There you go.
A new study. If you want to get somebody to confess something or tell you a secret.
Drug.
Not necessarily. Oh. They actually say the best time to get somebody to talk about something or confess something is right after loving, assuming that the person has finished. And they say that it's has something to do with the oxytocin release that you get from that. And it basically makes you feel connected and more open afterwards. I don't know. I've always heard during is a good time. Like, I'm going to walk out unless you tell me.
That would probably...
It's a very agreeable
work,
moment.
Or it could end whatever you were doing very quickly.
But they say, yeah, they say right after is a really good time because you've got this connection.
Hmm.
They also say that don't use alcohol, either as part of this or separately. Alcohol makes it more likely somebody will blurt something out.
Uh-huh.
But it's not as likely that they're going to you're going to be able to lead them into something.
That's interesting.
That you want. If you're trying to find something out. Getting somebody drunk, yeah, they'll talk.
That's funny because I'm always super suspicious when somebody starts buying me drinks. I'm like, what are you trying to get at me? What do you want to know?
Even when I do that, she's like, wait, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
I'm obviously trying to get you drunk.
Yeah, that's probably it. If you've been watching TV recently and maybe you're a fan of Grey's Anatomy, maybe not, you've probably heard it.
Nope. Spoiler alert, by the way. This is a spoiler alert, and it aired many days ago now, but I've still seen people mad.
Okay, don't be
mad.
That
this is on social media. So I'm just warning you, if you're a Grey's Anatomy person,
I have been watching the show since episode one. I did not watch the spinoff of Private Practice, so I feel like I can speak on the Grey's Anatomy storyline with a little bit of authority because I know what's happening. But Dr. Derek Shepherd was killed off on Thursday, and this last episode, whenever you happen to be hearing this podcast. So yeah, Dr. Derek Shepherd, which was Dr. McDreamy,
right,
and that would be the main character, Meredith Grey's husband now. And people were kind of devastated. And the reason why, really, is because in the storyline, he kind of went away for a little bit for a job, and they were doing a long-distance thing. He came back from the long-distance thing and said, you are my one, my only. This is the only place I ever want to be. I want to be here with the kids. I don't care what I'm doing for a job. My family is the most important thing. And he made this huge declaration of, I'm here, I'm a pillar, I'm permanent, and like all this stuff. And everyone was like, yay, they're nice little cute families all together again. He's back. And then they killed him in a car accident.
Okay, so it wasn't... See, I've seen all the complaining, and I don't watch the show. So it wasn't so much that they killed him off. It was, like, let's say he had come back from this other job and died in a plane crash on the way home. Still would have been sad.
Yes.
People would have been devastated. And you said he's not even on the show that much because he's been in another
city. Because he's been in another city. And so they've been setting it up that he's been away and the storyline has kind of fizzled out and ended.
They made it like, okay, he's back.
Right.
And everyone went, oh, yay.
Oh, relief, he's back.
And then they killed him.
And then they killed him. So that's kind of why. But they do have a petition online now, bring back Dr. Shepherd, of course. They're sending it to show creator Shonda Rhimes, who created Grey's Anatomy. But one of my favorite lines from the petition, and I'm not going to read you all the things that the fans have been writing, but it is kind of funny. One of my favorite lines is this: taking McDreamy from your loyal and loving fans is like shooting a puppy in front of a classroom of kindergartners.
What?
That's how devastated some people are.
No.
I'm not devastated because I think it makes the rest of the episodes that are left of this show more interesting.
I don't care how much you love Grey's Anatomy or Dr. McDreamy. You don't love it more than a puppy is loved by a room full of kindergartners.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay to hurt. I mean, I've gotten attached to TV characters and movie characters.
Yeah, I think it's good. It makes the writing better for the next couple of episodes. You'll like it better.
I thought somebody got stabbed and you didn't know if they died.
That would be Scandal, the other Shonda Rhimes show.
Okay.
And that is Jake Ballard. And by the way, he survived. Spoil alert.
That's your guess? That's your prediction? Okay.
No, he did. I've seen him.
Okay, one more thing. She Sheds is a thing now, and I hadn't heard about this until just recently, but I guess they're all over Pinterest. And Candy, have you heard of the She Shed?
Yes, and I don't like them.
So a She Shed, I guess, is the female answer to the man cave.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that you have a shed or something in your backyard. You sort of create, you know, some people do them in greenhouses, and they feature sometimes gardening tools, places to have tea. They're decorated out to reflect the owner's tastes, all for the woman.
A little girly stuff.
Yeah. And like I said, they're all over the internet, and this is a place for the woman to have their own space in the same way that the man has his man cave.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are literally little sheds that you would park a mower in that they've decorated, and some of them are much, much nicer looking. I don't get it. I mean, first of all, women, you should be offended if a guy gets his own room or even the whole basement or the whole garage and you get kicked into the backyard.
Right.
You got screwed.
Rarely would you have electricity in a situation like this because you're talking about a separate little shed.
Yeah.
It's a small space. You know there's going to be at least one hornet's nest in there when you open it up the next time.
Secondly, the whole point of the man cave is that you already have the rest of the house.
Yeah.
That's why men started doing man caves or man rooms, was the place that you wanted us to hide all of our sports memorabilia, comic book figures, whatever it is. Right?
Your dolls. Uh-huh.
Right. You already get to decorate everything else in the house. Why do you need a she shed?
I don't know.
Other than for your Pinterest wall.
People enjoy outdoor spaces, especially if you live in a temperate climate that's sunny a lot of the time, because you're just outside more. We live here in Seattle where, yeah, it does rain occasionally and you have to worry about mold and all that other stuff. That's why I think something like a she shed is, that's not going to work.
Waste of space and time and energy.
You know, doing a garden and having like a patio and then having people come to your patio to eat. I love to eat outside.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm outdoorsy. I like to drink outside. Yeah, same thing. That achieves exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. So the she shed.
Yeah. So if you see that pop up, that's what it is.
That's what it is. And ladies, I don't think you need it. And two, you got screwed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, I don't know. I guess for a lot of women, they would much rather have a detached space. You know, and like I said, some of them are nice. You can search for them rather than have the basement that might have limited windows or no windows.
The people that I know that would use something like this are people who need workspace. So it's not really entertaining space like they've dolled up on these websites and on the blog posts for Pinterest and stuff. So it would be like an artist studio or like, you know, you need to do something in this little corner. So that's why you need that space. So I don't think it would be like this.
Tomorrow on episode 22 of the Candy and Potter Show, it is Tiny Human Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
There was a dramatic incident over the weekend involving what kind of bug was it?
It was,
was it a bee or just a fly?
I think it was a beetle or something.
A beetle? Okay.
Yeah.
Involving a beetle and a balloon. I don't know if Candy will be able to tell the whole story with the tiny human in the room, but she can tell the adult version and then we'll get his perspective as
well.
So that's coming up for Tiny Human Tuesday, episode 22 coming up tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Find everything related to the podcast and all of our social media at candyandpotter.com.